Well, hello everyone. Recently, Rupert Lowe did an interview with The Spectator with a certain Michael Gove, where he spoke very candidly and, if you ask me, eloquently for an entire hour about the problems of this country and what needs to be done now. And along the way, he said that at least 70 of the 120 or so Tory MPs need to be purged. They need to be packed off and replaced with new blood. And he talked about the problems of the administrative state. He talked about the civil service being a permanent bureaucracy, and how he, if he was the Prime Minister, would take a sledgehammer to all of that, among many other things. He also talked about immigration. And to me, Rupert Lowe sounds like a serious person. He sounds like somebody who understands exactly what the problem is in this country. And if he were to be run to be Prime Minister, I think a lot of us would back him. I certainly would. He, of all of the people in British politics at the moment, he is the person who is most making sense to me. Not perfect. Nobody is, of course. You know, he could go further on some things. But he seems to get it, is the bottom line. And as I was watching this interview, basically my thoughts about the future prospect of British politics completely transformed. I was thinking about, why is this interview even taking place? What is Michael Gove up to? You know, snaky, slimy worm tongue that he is. Why is Rupert Lowe being given this airtime? Now, partly it's to attack reform, of course, from the right. But also, if you ask me, the entire interview was a dry run dress rehearsal for Rupert Lowe to become the Tory leader. Now, this sounds insane, and possibly it is, but just hear me out. They talked about how when companies go into administration, they sometimes, and when they've kind of gone off the rails, they sometimes bring in, you know, emergency CEOs. They, you know, somebody who really knows what they're doing to turn things around. In football terms, this is when a club goes into administration and, you know, you get in an emergency staff. And Rupert Lowe essentially would be that for the Tory party. The Tory party has completely lost its way. It has lost touch with its base. It is currently, under Kemi Badenoch, on a trajectory to become an ex-parrot, to quote Monty Python. And so one way of turning that around would be for Rupert Lowe to go in there, purge the globalists, the likes of James Cleverly, all of the, you know, Jeremy Hunt, all of the absolute scumbags that we have come to despise, who seem to basically just be all-out leftists, the Cameronistas, that whole quasi-Blairite project within the Tory party. Lowe sees it, and Lowe understands that they all need to be purged. And I think, as a businessman, as somebody who has you know, achieved a lot in his life, who's been part of tough negotiations, that Lowe is a man of requisite resolve, will and character to do this job, okay? Now, I know what some of you are thinking. Come on, AA. You were the person who wanted a zero seats, the Tory party. You were supposed to destroy the Tory party, not save them. I understand that. I understand why people are saying that. They might maybe thinking that right now. But I'm also, first and foremost, a realist. And the biggest thing I want is results. I want a party, a government, that's going to do the things that are required to save this nation. This nation, on its current trajectory, is going to hell in a handbasket, to use an Americanism. Okay? Now, I have prepared four different scenarios for what could happen. Okay? And I'll go through each of these. And then I'll make a case for why I think the Rupert Lowe taking over the Tories scenario is the best one. So let me just take you through these, okay? So the first scenario here is that the wets within the Tory party, the James Cleverly faction, the globalists, if you want, the Lib Dems masquerading as Tories, win. And basically reform then landslide in the election, or we get a hung parliament, or Labour win even, and the Tories basically are condemned to the history books. That's scenario A, and that is the current trajectory, by the way. So the Tories are actually on course to destroy themselves if they tack to the Lib Dem left, which is where they've been, in recent years. Scenario B is a desperation. Again, sorry for all the Americanisms. It's a Hail Mary play. Boris, who feels he's got unfinished business. Boris, who many of us feel betrayed the nation. Boris, who was such a disappointment when we gave him an 80-seat majority, decides, actually, okay, I've put us on the path that is going to destroy the Tory party. I can be the one who saves the Tory party. And now, a lot of you be rolling your eyes. A lot of you be thinking, we will never forgive that absolute buffoon, that traitor. But, okay, remember, pro wrestling, friends. Boris is a main eventer. Boris has got an X factor. Boris is a top-level main eventer with charisma to spare. He's never lost an election, Boris. Right? He won the landslide. He won every time he ran as the London mayor. He was connived out of power and cooed, which is when they installed... Well, first there was the small matter of Liz Truss, and then there was Sunak. The Boris comeback will be, look, the deep state stitched me up. I've learnt my lesson. Now I mean business. Now let's fix the nation. Letterboxes. Nincompoops. Trust me, Boris is box office. So that is one possible route that the Tories have got. One of the factors against that happening, of course, is that many grandees in the Tory party, many operatives in the Tory party just hate Boris Johnson. Another major factor against is the fact that many of us, me especially, believe that Boris Johnson betrayed this nation when he unleashed the biggest wave of immigration that we've ever seen. Okay, so the Boris scenario, and Nigel Farage and Keir Starmer have got a kill shot on Boris, which is basically to make that wave of immigration, call it Boris wave, and tie Boris to the recent immigration trouble. That would be a way of preventing that comeback. They haven't done that as strongly as they might. Anyway, scenario C, which I actually think, up until I saw that low interview, I thought was actually the most likely scenario, which is that we get a containment-based Robert Jendrick takeover of the Tory party, and then they, down the line, just before the election, either go into a coalition with Reform or merge with Reform, okay? Now, I know there are tons of reasons, both from the Tory side and the Reform side, why people may not want such a merger to happen. But the raw fact is, and remember, I always look at things first and foremost in the football manager style. I look at the raw stats first, okay? The mathematical certainty is the fact that if you have a joint Tory and Reform ticket, the Labour can't win. If you have a united, quote-unquote, right-wing party, Labour cannot win. The only reason the zero seats happen is because Reform split the vote. Or if you want to put it the other way, the Tories split the vote. If they were united on a single ticket, that wouldn't happen. They'd win. And, I mean, that's just basic electoral maths. Now, why might... Okay, so we know all the reasons why the merger may not want to happen, right? That Nigel Farage's ego, Reform don't need the Tories, they could destroy the Tories from that side. And then from the other side, the Tories would never work with Farage, the Tories, we would never allow this to happen, yada, yada, yada. Thing is, there are factors going the other way. The Tory party are desperate. They are in dire straits. They are on the brink of extinction, okay? So they need to do something. They need to pull a rabbit out of the hat And one way to do it is the reformed Tory party being led by Nigel Farage. Okay. What does Nigel get from it? What do reform get from it? Well, one, reform, hate to break it to you, isn't a proper party. They're not a serious party. They're a media organisation masquerading as a party. Okay. They don't have any real policy, as Rupert Lowe said. They're not serious. Okay. So with the Tory party, they'd gain some of that gravitas that is necessary by merging with the likes of Jendrick, who is a policy man and who's a doer. Okay. But Nigel, not really a kind of operational guy, from what I can gather. Okay. He frequently doesn't turn up to meetings, doesn't hold meetings. You know, it's run like a media operation, and all signs, everybody I've spoken to who knows that operation, guys behind the scenes, have told me that, okay? And I've heard it from people saying it in front of the camera as well. So that's one thing they'd get, is some like operational efficacy from the Tories, reform one. The second thing they'd get is they'd inherit the Tory machine, the infrastructure, the apparatus, the ground game, the know-how, the local knowledge, all of those things the Tories have been doing for literally 200 years, and reform, well, they're a brand new party. So, you know, there would be things to gain. But the biggest thing Nigel would gain is the recognition from the establishment that he's always secretly craved. He's always craved that mainstream acceptance, that air of respectability. And of course, being the leader of a reformed Tory party would give Nigel Farage that, okay? And then finally, there is scenario D. This is my favourite scenario and what I want to argue for in this video. And that is Rupert Lowe being accepted into the Tory party. Kemi Badenoch steps down and Lowe brings on the purges. Now, let's talk about this scenario. Lowe understands the problem. He's a patriot. Lowe, unlike Nigel Farage, has kept an ear to the base, and he speaks to the quote-unquote base. Okay, he doesn't say, oh, those horrible online rightists over there. He's just like, no, I understand the problems. That they are the ones who are speaking truth to power at the moment. They are actually reflecting the views of the real people of this country, of which I am one, says Rupert Lowe. I am a patriot, first and foremost, he says. So I like the way that Rupert Lowe is operating and thinking. He's truly gets the modern social media environment and plays it well. Just these past couple of days, his meme game has been fantastic. So despite being a 67-year-old boomer, Lowe, maybe he's the exception that proves all the rules. He gets it, okay? Over the past few days, Richard Tice gave an extraordinarily awful interview to Steve Edgington, who's a buddy of mine, who, and during that interview, Edgington put the demographic question to him because it's been on the front of the Telegraph, a Matt Goodwin report. And, you know, so he asked Richard Tice about this. And his initial response, his instinct was to say, oh, by 2063, I'll be long gone by then. I'll be dead. Which was one of the most selfish, boomery answers ever. Richard Tice came across like a selfish individual who doesn't understand the Burkean contract. Edmund Burke talked about the line between the people who've gone before us, our ancestors, the people who are present now, and the people who are yet to be born. Every generation tries to leave the country in a better state than they inherited. This is the Burkean contract. So for Richard Tice, do you know who he reminded me of when he said that, Richard Tice? Maynard Keynes. He reminded me of that whole thing, John Maynard Keynes. In the long run, we'll all be dead. Oh, fantastic. Brilliant. Thanks, Richard Tice. And in stark contrast to that, Rupert Lowe, in that interview with Gove, was clearly thinking in terms of legacy, in terms of inheritance, in terms of our children and our grandchildren and their children after them. He was thinking truly like somebody who cares about this nation. He reminded me, really, of, there was a kind of noblesse oblige about him. He was talking almost like an old-fashioned aristocrat who had a deep connection to their part of the world, their bit of land. And Lo seems to understand this deep-rootedness in the British people. So, yeah, I mean, in terms of their character, it's night and day between the likes of Richard Tice and Lo. The second thing about the possibility of a Lo takeover is that Farage, as, you know, Zia Youssef stood down as the chairman of Reform. It was funny, he kind of did a George Costanza. I don't know if you remember Seinfeld, but in Seinfeld, George Costanza quits his job, then over the weekend regrets it, and then on Monday morning tries to go back. He just like tries to act like nothing happened. And Zia Youssef has done the George Costanza. Nick Dixon on Twitter also pointed this out. Great minds think alike, eh, Nick? But the point is that Farage had a moment there after Zia Youssef resigned to say, to make it up with Lo, to actually just build the bridge. And he said he'd rather, you know, swallow a razor blade or something, is what Farage said. So Farage's ego, his brittleness, his childishness is not going to build that, is not going to build that bridge. But Lo, with a Tory party behind him, with a newly reformed Tory party, with a base Tory party purged of wets and globalists, run by patriots, run by a true network of people who know what they're doing, and they are out there, and he will find that team. You know, Lo is serious enough to form that organised minority to truly take over the Tory party. If he did that, and if he spoke, as he spoke in that interview with Gove, to the nation at large, in The Spectator, he's just talking to conservatives and right-wingers and spads and sort of people who watch this channel, okay? But if he was to give that message to the nation at large, I guarantee you that Tories would win the election outright and Reform would collapse. That's my scenario D. Reform would collapse. Why? Because what has happened in microcosm online? You see, this is where Farage really doesn't get it and where we do, okay? What happens online is always, and I mean always, a forerunner for what happens in society at large. Yes, Twitter is not the real world, but Twitter is often a good predictor of what happens in the real world. How do I know this? I know this because conversations that we were having 5 years ago, 6 years ago, have slowly trickled into the mainstream. Telegraph front pages now were stuff that we were talking about 6 or 7 years ago. So there is a propensity for the discourse to move from the online, what people call online right. I know I don't really like the title. I'm not part of the online right. I'm part of the sensible centre, as I've always said. But I have noticed, as a value-free observation, that discourse tends to move from there into the real world. How does that happen? Well, who do you think is watching us? The people who watch it, not everybody who watches me, or Carl or any of the other people, has their own channel. They're just people in the real world. And they watch us and then they form their opinions in the real world. Okay, it's not that difficult to see. And Rupert Lowe gets that. He intuitively understands that, you know, so the online discourse goes as the discourse catches up in the real world 6 months, year, 2 years later. So what I'm saying is, if it actually came down to it, a Rupert Lowe-led Tory party versus Nigel's Reform, just as Lowe won that in the online space, he would also win it in the real life space. I understand people say, well, people don't know Rupert Lowe. They can get to know him. People didn't know Barack Obama before he ran for president. Who knew David Cameron before he became the Prime Minister? Who knew Tony Blair, really, before he emerged onto the scene? Lowe, as the leader of the Tory party, would be introduced to the nation properly. You'd give him a proper push. You know, nobody knew anybody before they were introduced. Even Hulk Hogan in pro wrestling, nobody knew him before he was pushed. As the leader of the Tory party, Rupert Lowe would have a machine behind him, and he would be pushed. All it would take was a couple of high-profile interviews, media appearances, good social media game, and Lowe would be in there. And it wouldn't take long for people to watch Lowe and then think, oh, actually, compared to Farage, this guy seems like the real deal. And Farage seems like a backstabbing snake who's superficial, who doesn't mean business, who doesn't have a plan, who doesn't think in terms of policy. I'm telling you, it could happen. And just think now, what we want is I don't care if we get there through the Labour Party, through Reform, or through the Tory Party, or call it the Banana Party. I don't give a shit. What we want fundamentally, okay, are results. Results that are going to get us on the road to fixing the problems in this nation, long term, for our children and for our grandchildren as well, so that we may leave the country in a better place than, frankly, sorry boomers, how we've inherited it. We've inherited a country on the brink, on the precipice of going out. You know, I spent the weekend looking at military statistics. You know, Britain has the best military record in history. Most conflicts, most wins, best win-loss ratio, apart from the Roman Empire, on that particular one. But on all the other stats, Britain is number one in world history. To go from that to just accepting abject defeat in the space of 100 years, that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. The British people won't allow it to happen. So cometh the hour, cometh the man. And seriously, Rupert Lowe could be that man if people just have a little bit of vision. People just think outside the box. Now, I know all of the alarm bells people ringing. Yeah, but yeah, you've talked about T1000 reforming. It's the Tories. You can never trust them. Blah, 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 blah. Look, it doesn't really matter what you call it. Think about what Trump did to the Republican Party. Yes, there are still GOP snakes there, blah, 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 blah. But he basically did some version of this process that I'm talking about to the Republicans, and he's transformed them to make them MAGA. Lowe will do something like this to the Tory party if people give him the shot. And if he believes, if he has a team around him, and if we can get enough people like Michael Gove and others to believe that this is possible. Because reality is downstream, ultimately, from what people believe is possible. And this is what I believe. I think that his best shot of making the changes he wants is as the leader of the Tory party. Now, there's another scenario where Rupert Lowe just starts his own party and kind of agitates from the sidelines. He could do that, and he would get headlines, and he would nudge things from a certain distance. The trouble with that is that it doesn't get us the results that we want. The result that we want is a government that's going to make the changes necessary and the speed that we want it to be made. So this ultimately is what I think is the best case scenario for us right now, is a Rupert Lowe-led, newly based Tory party that would actually represent the people of this nation. I think it's possible. I truly believe it's possible. And I was even thinking of sending Lowe a copy of The Populist Delusion. You know, probably it'd be best for somebody in his constituency to send him a copy and say, look, there's this guy, Dr. Neil Parvini, who really believes that you've got what it takes, but you're going to need to know what's coming. You need to know what you're up against. You need to know the iron law of oligarchy, you know, to circumnavigate it. And this book will help. It won't give him all the answers, but it'll get him thinking in the right sort of way. And Lowe is a smart lad. And he's got smart people around him. So armed with a bit of that knowledge, I truly believe they've got what it takes. Maybe he might not be the long-term solution, but in the short run, while he's still got verve and drive before he goes off into his retirement, he could oversee this radical change. This is something David Starkey could get behind. I've talked to David Starkey. He believes that something like the Thatcher Revolution, which took place in the Tory party, could happen again. I didn't believe him. Okay, that was a failure of my vision until I saw Rupert Lowe. in that interview with Gove. I believe that Rupert Lowe could fulfil David Starkey's dreams and revitalise the Tory party and come back and have a stonking great win in 2029 and then make the changes that we want. All right. Pick up a course at the academic agency, ladies and gentlemen. Trivium, Buy It Now, Foundations of Shakespeare, but most importantly of all, Get Out. If you like this video, be sure to like and subscribe. You can join the channel for thousands of hours of past shows in the archive and hundreds of videos. If you have any questions, you can leave a super chat or a super thanks, and I'll be sure to pick it up during my weekly office hours, which run every Tuesday afternoon. I also provide courses at the academic agency, which I encourage people to buy. Thousands of students now have taken the Trivium to improve their skills in writing, logic, and rhetoric. Just three of many courses available. Buy it now. But most importantly of all, friends, get out.